Scene in this movie is at the beginning where Kaji just starts speaking in motherfucking English, and then all the nerve, like, US personnel just looks at him in shock. Not because they're shocked at whatever he just said, they're shocked that this crazy Japanese man is just speaking motherfucking gibberish in the middle of this fucking emergency. Like, do you all agree with me on this? That this is the best scene ever in the movie?
It's like the worst English ever.
Like, he kind of starts off okay, and then it just devolves into, good luck!
He might as well have been, like, you know, talking in, like, Daffy Duck gibberish. I mean, like, you know, it's like, it's like, okay. Yeah, that's very fucking interesting. Get the fuck out, man.
It has gone past the barrier, and that was the conclusion that isn't this in Brazilian.
Yeah, I like how the only way people could understand that was they had to read the Japanese subtitles.
Yeah, it's a good thing that's there, otherwise the translators would be going like fucking ape shit trying to figure out what he just said. Like,
you notice there's like an actual disconnect in the subtitles I saw, like, they actually stop sounding like what he's saying after a while and are just like a straight translation of the Japanese, because he's just incomprehensible. But enough about that. Yeah, once again, we're all here, back together, talking about Evangelion. Last time, if you may remember, at the beginning of this podcast, one of the early episodes, we talked about the first in these remake of Eva movies, Eva 1.1, You Are Not Alone, and we are back again talking about the second one, You Cannot Advance. And just to remind you of who we are, it's me, your old buddy Wah, slash Wild Arms Hero, slash whatever you want to call me. And to my right, I have Mr. Aaron Clark of AvaMonkey.com.
Yo.
And to my left, I have Bonertown of the Internet.
What? Huh? Oh, hey, how's it going?
And we're just going to be talking about Ava 2.2. But before we launch into this new crazy movie that everyone's talking about just now because they can finally pirate it easily, I kind of want to go back and just talk about my views, my revised views, rather, on the first remake, if you guys don't mind, because I have a revised opinion after watching it recently, and that I basically think that first movie is pretty awful. Like, it's, like, really poorly paced. Like, they just shove in a bunch of plot points just to get them out there, and, like, I know the adults in Eva are manipulative bastards, but they don't get out well in this movie, like, because every scene with an adult in this movie is just either them, like, yapping off exposition, or them just guilting Shinji even more into piloting this mind-raping robot. So, I really don't like that movie at all. I mean, I like the second half a little bit, but I feel 20 minutes could have helped it, but that's all.
Yeah, I think, didn't we discuss this last time where we kind of said, like, it's like you had to have had watched the TV series to get an appreciation for 1.11?
Yeah, a little bit, but, like, I think even if you like the TV series, it's just, at least from my point of view, some people enjoy it because enjoy that movie because it's nostalgic, but I honestly think, I mean, I just expect more out of a veteran director like Anno Hideaki, so
mm-hmm.
It's
I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
I kind of see where you're going, because, like, I like to think of the first film, it's kind of like foreplay. It's like that. It's like that shit you got to do to get to, like, the rest of it. You know, you got to get that out of the way to get to the real good stuff. But, like, the first film, yeah, it had, like, really lousy, like, pacing, because the first half... Well, the first half of the first film had really lousy pacing, because it was essentially, like, a run-through, like, 8 minutes per episode of the first four episodes. So it was, like, trying to condense, like, you know, like, an hour and a half of stuff down into 40 minutes. And then, like, the second half of the film was actually paced pretty good. That was,
yeah,
like,
it was.
Real, that was, yeah, like, the real meat of it. And,
like, it felt like a real movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, the second one feels like a real movie because it has a better flow to it. But whereas it has a better flow, it has, like, a really, really crappy structure if you kind of break it down and think about it. And in terms of, like, characterization and, like, you know, how many angel attacks there are. But it's definitely an improvement over the first one because it has more merit to its existence, because it actually has new and different and interesting stuff going on in it. Whereas the first one was just, like, the first six episodes, but really shiny and pretty and cool.
Yeah, that's basically what I think about it. And I think that a director on the caliber of Anno, or maybe he isn't on this caliber because he's only directed, like, five things, but I think that they really could have done more to, like, mix it up a bit. Like, foreplay doesn't have to be boring, you know?
For lack of a better word, I'm just going to stick with that.
Okay. So, with that out of the way, let's push on towards the new movie, Ava 2.22, as they're calling this revised DVD cut. So, just before we start, I'm just wondering, how many of you guys saw the theatrical version in one way or another?
Maybe we should explain, like, the numbering convention.
Well, go ahead. I'll leave that to you, Aaron.
Okay, well, 1.0 is the theatrical release of the first film. 1.01 was the first DVD release in Japan. And then a little bit later, they did another DVD and Blu-ray release of it, calling it 1.11. And that is the definitive version of that film. So if you're going to buy that...
So far.
Well, it's supposed to be the definitive version of it. So if you're going to buy, like, a release of it, you know, from Funimation, get the 1.11, because that's the, you know, finished definitive version. And then for 2.0, there's 2.0, which is the theatrical version, and then there is 2.22, which is the final definitive DVD and Blu-ray release on par with 1.11.
I gotta say, that's pretty shocking that Gainax or Kara or whoever, whichever fucking studio it is now, they're like, they didn't gouge the fans this time around.
Yeah, it is Kara. It's not Gainax. Gainax is producing some stuff kind of in promotion of it, but this is... It's by Kata and the Clockworks, or whoever that is, but...
I think the Clockworks may be, like, a production thing, because they have their names on a lot of anime movies.
But considering how many people from Gainax are working on these films, you might as well consider it an unofficial Gainax property.
Yeah, actually, one thing to note about the 1.01, 1.11, that was around the time when Blu-ray was just hitting the market in a big way, so
yeah.
I think you can kind of let them off, but it's still obviously gouging, but just, you know, help them out a bit. I'll just say, like, yeah, well, you know, Blu-ray was just coming out, so...
I'm just definitely surprised they didn't do a 2.02.
Yeah, that's... But, you know, there may be a 2.23 on the way, or 2.222...
don't even joke about that, man.
Umno is listening right now.
Don't joke. You're not funny.
Yeah,
all right, so I'm not joking. I'm serious. Like, that's serious shit we have to deal with. Anyway, 2.22. We're talking about the. So wait, actually, you guys didn't answer my question. Did you guys see, like, the cam version of the movie? Like,
I did not.
Did you?
I abstained.
Okay.
I did, and it was decent. It was a decent cam rip, but I mean, like, when there's any, like, daylight scenes suddenly coming out of nowhere, like, the whole thing would just be blown out white, and you're like, what? What's going on? Like, it would stay that way for like 2 or 3 minutes before you'd actually see something.
Actually, that's a special effect that was only in the theatrical version, Boner Town, because it was trying to simulate what otaku feel like when they leave their dark houses for the first time, because it actually is completely white for 3 minutes.
Is it?
it actually is. Now, actually, I saw the theatrical version in a theater, and yeah, I'll just put that out there. So, the DVD version, or the Blu-ray version, or whatever. I think the first thing we should talk about here, we'll start a bit easy, then work our way down to the deeper, more meatier stuff. Animation. Obviously, the first movie, as you already talked about, was more or less just, you know, a trace over the original, more or less. This is actually remixed to a large amount, to the point that it's not so much re-scene so much as there's, like, one or two iconic shots that are kept consistent with the TV series, and those are actually used.
There's still the periodic reused animation from the original series, but it's used so much more sparingly. Like, if, like, the first film was, like 90% original and 10% completely new, I'd say it's, like, about maybe half and half with the new film, or maybe, like, 60% new, 40% old.
Really?
But I'm also thinking about, like, I'm also thinking about story as well. So I might be, like, a little bit biased there.
I think of actual animation, most of it is pretty new. Like, then again, keep in mind, I haven't watched the show since I was 17 years old, but I've watched every episode of that show 50 times, so I think a lot of it is different.
I think it probably felt different just because everything was in high definition and really shiny looking. I'd say the only thing that kind of bugged me was that new short scene with Kaji at the beginning where he runs into Shinji and he kind of looked a little off model.
Yeah, but that's true. Yeah, that, and I think because they like hastily added that in for the DVD release. Yeah, that scene. Aaron, in case you don't know, even though you probably know every single change from the theatrical version.
I know a couple of them.
That scene where Shinji meets Kaji in the train station was not in the theatrical version. So, yeah. But I think the main thing about the animation to note is definitely the battles and how they have been sort of, you know, remixed and, like, buffed up for the movie. And one thing to note about the battles and the animation in general is that there's heavy use of 3D CG. Which, I'm not a fan of 3D CG. I honestly think that animation should be 2D completely, and if you're going to use CG, it should be only on backgrounds. But I thought the battle CG in this was actually fairly good.
Yeah, I was quite pleased with how they used it. I didn't think it was... There was a few things that I thought could have been 2D, but in general, I'm going to give them a thumbs up on how they handled 3D elements in this film.
Yeah, there is some Uncanny Valley stuff, but I don't think it's that bothersome.
Yeah, it doesn't look like something that popped out of mainframe from like the late 1990s, like with Beast Wars or Beast
Basically,
Machines.
Or fucking Reboot or Johnny Quest.
Yeah, it's like you look at it and you're like, that's a 3D model.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is you can still tell they're 3D models, but it doesn't bother you as... At least it doesn't... I mean, I know it bothered one guy who really hates the movie a lot. Like, he keeps watching it even though he hates it. But he really hates...
Typical otaku. I hate this movie. And, like, you know, you have, like, you know... How many times did you watch it? Oh, this is, like, only my 49th viewing of it. And, you know... Yeah.
I think one thing that could have helped it is they could have, like, made the outlines a bit thicker on the 3D stuff. It kind of would have made it mesh with the 2D cuts a bit more.
Like, any things in this film that I would criticize, 3D is, like, one of the lowest on that list.
I'm going to go into talking about the angels in a second, but one thing I kind of want to talk about the Ava's movement, like, specifically in the bomb angel, like, there's lots of running there, and I kind of like how humanoid they made that running, because it really sort of drove home that these are, like, organic beasts, and I think that sort of really human nature to the running, like, they basically look like fucking, like, basketball players or whatever, just, like, running across, you know, rural Japan, and I thought that was very well done. Like, give them big ups for that.
Yeah, that's a great, pretty original sequence, I thought. Just the... You know, how many times are you gonna see, like, Mecha running like that, like, you know? I guess they're not really mecha anymore, right? Kind of humanoid things, but yeah, I mean, like, the whole buildings, like, rising up just to give Shinji, like, you know...
Extra speed.
extra speed and moving him into the general direction of the angel. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's another thing. They really, like, much like the first movie, they really just show, because in the original TV series, Tokyo 3 was a battle station, but all they really showed was, like, a bunch of guns popping up. This one, they show how it's really made to sort of adapt to, like, any sort of situation. So that was definitely quite interesting.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on the running thing, because I thought that the running was a lot more natural in the original TV series, whereas in the second film, it's more, like, distended and very exaggerated. It was still kind of cool, but I don't know. I thought when they created a bank for it to, like, turn was a little bit silly, like, almost like... It's like a Batman utility belt type thing, you know? It can do anything just to be convenient.
Well, see, the thing is, I'm not going to disagree that there's lots of silly shit in this movie. The thing is, I don't give a damn because it's awesome. Like,
yeah, they got a talking penguin. They got like a penguin in their goddamn apartment, man. Like, you know, I think Batman utility belt rising buildings out of Tokyo 3 isn't, you know. It's fine.
It's the least of their worries. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, there's all tons of outrageous shit happening in this film.
Yeah,
so
it's fine. I mean, but I do agree that the running, definitely the way... I think the animation in the original TV series is definitely the finest some of the finest animation, the battle animation you'll see from, like, 90s anime. And I don't think that can be touched at all, because it's, like, godly perfect and amazing.
That's so weird, because, like, there's some people out there that I have heard say that, like, not even talking about, like, some of the still shots and some of the corner cutting of reusing stuff, but, like, there's people out there that think that the animation from the original show was, like, so subpar, while as others think, like, it was so, like, great for its time. And I'm just like, wow, it's so weird, like, you know, polarize people in two directions on a very kind of basic level.
Well, the thing is, like, I thought in the original TV series a lot of the battle animation was top-notch, but
yeah, it was.
Character animation definitely fluctuated, but they brought out where it counted. But anyway, going back to the movie, I mean, another thing about the visuals is that the angels have a big redesign. There's also just new angels, and I think in the first movie they were just, like, the same old angels. But in this one, they're, like, most of them are new. Like, there's a couple, like, there's... three of the same, but I think they've definitely managed to make really alien looking creatures. Like, in the original they kind of just look like kind of weird things, but here they actually look like they're definitely from another world. Like, they're just completely just out of the realm of human imagination.
Yeah, you can't even interpret them as being living beings.
Yeah. Like, especially that angel that Asuka gets introduced on, like, that giant, like, pole angel, like...
We call it Clockiel, because it's the face is, like, got the clock hands on it.
That's, going to that, like, they don't name the actual angels in the films, do they?
No, they don't name the new ones. We call, like, the first one, like, Tunniel, because it's in a tunnel, and we name the second one Clockiel, because it looks like a clock.
Right, yeah. I think we were talking about, me and Wah were talking about this earlier, whether they don't actually straight out name out the angels. They just refer to them as the first angel or the second angel, or, you know, compared
to
the TV.
I'm sure they'll get names eventually.
Now, I'm just wondering, that angel that that Mahdi fights in the beginning, that was the third angel, right? That they froze? Because, like, even reading, like...
Yeah, it's the third angel.
Okay, because, like, I still, even Kaji's English, like... Because that's a pretty serious plot point that he reveals. And, like, the subtitles were, like, superimposed over the Japanese subtitles, so I couldn't read them very well. And it was kind of convoluted, so I couldn't really get what was happening there. But as near as I could tell, they were holding some angel, like, in frozen Consolo Carbonite in America or something.
Yes. The Acheron Station?
Yeah.
I think is what they called it. So, well, I remember... Sakio, that was the third angel in the TV series, the green one that was in the first two episodes, was the second angel.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Wasn't it the third angel in the TV
series?
No,
it was the third angel in the TV series, but it was the second TV series in the movies.
Huh, wait, and... I thought they said it was the fourth angel in the movies. We're, like, debating minutia here.
Whatever. I'm
pretty sure they said. I watched 1.1 like a couple days ago, and I'm pretty sure they said it was the fourth angel.
Fucking Anno making things confusing.
He's like sitting in his house made out of gold, laughing at this right now.
That's it. I'm firing up my fan sub because the DVD is too much work to put in.
I like how you have both on call because you're the Ava monkey.
Fucking awesome.
So right. I guess we're just killing time now until he.
Does it really matter? I don't think it matters. Like, I honestly don't think it matters. Basically, the point I just wanted to make is that the angels just look really alien and beautiful, and I also like the way they move. Like, I think it's worth talking about. In the first movie, they did remix the last fight, obviously, but in this one, the bomb angel, that's what I call it. I don't know his name, but the bomb angel, he definitely had a whole other dimension to him with the way he had these different stages, and he unfolded into this, like, giant weird thing, and then there's, like, this, there's, like, another thing inside of him that was, like, grappling with the Ava as they fought. It was...
Yeah, I guess, like, it's because, like, you know, you have this new technology now. I mean, like, you guys didn't really have, you know, really good-looking CG back in the TV series, plus, like, budget concerns, and that's not really an issue these days. So, like, they could really kind of go out there with the designs.
Yeah, I think CG is definitely... I don't think 3D CG and anime is perfect now, but it's definitely to the point where it's presentable, unlike Golgo 13 The Professional, the beginning of that movie. I mean, not to say that CG is awful. I mean, it's great in its own way, in its own, like, 80s way, but I'm just saying, it's... They've definitely
how it looked like a Mode 7 FX chip on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Basically, whatever that means. I don't know that reference that you made, but
awesome. I got a chart now.
You got a chart of angels?
Yeah, on AvaGeeks.
Okay.
The thing that's at the beginning of 2.0 that we call Tunnel for some reason is the third angel.
Okay. All right. So
Lilith is still the second angel. This new angel is the third. The Satchel, the green one from the TV series, is the fourth. And then the fifth and sixth in first film, you know.
Okay.
And then the Clockiel, the one that's on the Red Sea that causes it to freeze and stuff that Asu defeats, that's the seventh.
Oh, yeah, that was a neat sequence, too, where it was walking, it would make all those, like, snowflakes.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And yeah, that was cool. I like that.
You know, it's a pity. We were talking about this in the last show, but why didn't Magma Diver happen? Why didn't they fight that angel? Like, I was, Anno, listen, we've had kind of a tumultuous relationship, man, but I was hoping you'd bless us with the existence of Jet Alone, the Magma Diver angel, you know, maybe the Dance Like You Want to Win angel. Come on, Anno. I mean,
Magma Diver is the worst episode in the entire series.
I think it's the best. I think it's the best worst. Episode except for except for Jet Alone.
You cannot win this argument. Worst episode ever. It's worse than episode 14, and that episode has no story in it.
Episode 14 is a pretty bad. That is definitely the worst episode in the series because it's like all fucking reused animation. Like that's all it fucking is. But I do like a lot of the silly stuff. Like, I love the silly stuff in Ava. Like, that's the shit that I love. Like, I like the serious stuff, too, but I just love all the silly shit. So I honestly do... I'm not ironically liking Magma Diver. I actually like Magma Diver. I think it's great. Like, I love
it. I actually hate its guts.
That's because you're the serious Ava fan who runs a website about it, and I'm not. All right, so let's move away from the battle animation. Maybe talk about some of the more... maybe more boring stuff, I don't know, but, like, definitely, character animation in this movie is, you know, I definitely say it's nuanced in some ways. Like, they definitely have, you know, mannerisms, and, you know, they move interestingly. And, you know, they never really look bad, except for that one scene where Kaji looks kind of cool. But other than that...
Kaji looks kind of cool.
He did look kind of cool. And,
like, one eye was drooping lower than the other? I mean, come on.
Yeah, at least his eyes weren't pointing out in different directions, but, you know.
It was getting close, man. Like, he's looking kind of cross-eyed there for a second.
I think he kind of looked like a hobo there. I mean, maybe I'll love them off. Like, he looks like a hobo. He just had a long flight from, you know, Europe. I don't know, whatever.
I like how in the second film, it's... like, as if all of the countries in Europe, like, imploded and reformed as one big mega country. Like,
yeah, Europe.
It's like we're coming from Europe.
Europe. It's fucking Europe.
It's like Europe is a country now.
As near as Japan is concerned, it probably is. I don't even think
Asuka is mentioned as being coming from Germany or being German. It just refers to nerve Europe or get Europe's approval.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, I think, obviously in the TV series, animation styles were fluctuating because it was like a TV series, but I think in this movie, like, there are definitely some shots that look like they came directly from Sadamoto's pen, even though they didn't, but they do look like that. But another thing to the animation of this movie is that, I'm sure I'm boring you guys to tears with this, I'm not even an animation expert, but I think there is some inconsistencies in the style, but not to the point where it's jarring, but you can definitely see artists' personality coming through in some cuts.
Yeah, or there's like when Asuka gets down off of the Eba for the first time and comes and talks to Masato, she's like really, like, it looks like the frame is out of aspect ratio because her face looks really thin. Mm. Or, like, she's really tall.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Actually,
like, you're looking through a lens. And similarly, I'm not done yet.
Okay, sorry.
There's also when Kaji takes the case to Kendo Akari in his office, it's this reused animation from the TV series there, and it's very, very obvious because, like, the outlining on everything is, like, really different.
Yes, quite so. Actually, talking about Asuka, there's lots of really good cuts of animation with her. They're all fan servicey, but they're all great. Like, you know, her turning over in bed while her striped panties face the camera, or her, like, jumping up out of bed once she gets the text about the test in Matsuhiro, or whatever it is. Like, there's definitely lots of good, like, moments like that that I think help sort of, you know, give the animation in the movie some character.
There's lots of bouncing boobies.
Oh yeah, with Mari. Here she's like...
Mari, Masato, Asuka, Rei.
Everyone bounces in that movie.
Even Genda!
Yes!
Genda's man boobs. Oh yeah.
Oh man. I'm gonna have nightmares about that one tonight.
Oh yeah, there's definitely lots of... Also, another thing to note, we talked about this a bit in the first one, but like backgrounds are definitely... Actually, one thing to note between that last movie and this second movie that I have been to Japan in the interim, and they paint a very convincing and very authentic Japan in their backgrounds. Like,
if it was if two impacts that had happened and if you built it to Tokyo 3, then it looks kind of authentic. Then okay.
No, it looks like it doesn't look like any certain place. Like, none of these places are like copied from places in Japan, but they look like, if I was in Japan and I was walking around, you know, some of the rural areas where Toji, Shinji, and Kensuke go to get those ice creams, definitely looks like the town where I lived. That's what I mean. It definitely has character to it. Like,
yeah, I love that that montage. It's about like 15 minutes in, where it's just like a day in the city where there's just nothing but music.
Yeah.
And, like, all the people are going to work, and, like, the solar reflectors are turning and capturing the light and beaming it down to the geofront, and all the, you know, train tracks are aligning, and all the buildings are coming up and whatnot. And, like, there's even, like, this cut of animation where this, like, plane is kind of flying overhead. And I look at that, and I'm like, man, that's, like, exactly like one of those montages from Ghost in the Shell with, like, city and music.
Yeah.
It's, like, giving the city character, and that's one thing that I really like about even like the first Rebuild film. They like make things seem more functional.
Yes.
Like the things in the city actually do something. The people are there, they have jobs, they go places, they do things. So it really feels like alive. Like, even like these little simple little montage sequences I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like there's, like you mentioned, there's lots of like, the devil is in the details. Is that the right phrase I should use here? There's, like, definitely lots of attention paid to little details, which I think, like, realistic details that you'd see in real life. So, you know, it definitely brings you more into experience as opposed to the original TV series where basically Tokyo 3 was just like a wash of blue buildings. That's basically what it was.
Or like where like a whole bunch of the buildings fall down and then crash, and then you see them crash, and that's kind of like the end of it. But like in like the second film, like, you know, buildings get blown off of the, you know, ceiling and fall down, and like they're there, and like the Evas are moving like with those surrounding them.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Also, another thing about the city scenes, and one thing that they use to a large degree in this movie, and in the first movie too, and it's this technique that's been pioneered for the past couple of years, is the 3D CG crowds. So instead of actually drawing people and animating them, you basically have these like walking scripts that you just assign to a bunch of 3D models.
Right,
and
yeah.
And you have them walk around. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about this. Watching it on the big screen was kind of off. Sometimes it looked good, sometimes it didn't. Watching it on a small screen is a little better. And like,
it's still noticeable, though,
it's
right?
It's still noticeable, and I'm not sure if... I don't hate it, and I think it definitely... I think it definitely does make the city feel more alive, but the contrast is jarring compared to the 2D characters, and it bothers me a little, but I don't hate it.
I'm willing to forgive it if it adds life
to
the city.
I think it certainly adds character, and I think that's the important part.
Yeah. I didn't notice it.
Yeah, see...
Although I did like the way the movement of the people through the city felt very... I don't know, it seemed organic to me,
yes.
Which I liked.
Yes, certainly. And before we wrap up this talk of animation that I'm sure is exhilarating, there was a review written on colonydrop.com back when this movie came out in Japan, and I actually got into a little tiff with the person who wrote it on his IRC channel, which I'm not that proud of a year later. And even though he really hates the movie, and I disagree with him on why he hates it, he did mention that the animation was not really movie standard. And watching this movie four times, I don't think the animation is bad, because I've just spent the past 20 minutes praising it, but I definitely feel that as far as movie standard films go, like, apparently the Suzumiya Haruhi movie looks, like, a lot better than this. I definitely think that... I don't think it takes away from the movie, but I definitely think there are some times when maybe the classmates in Shinji's classroom could have been drawn with a bit more detail and may have been doing something, or maybe there could have been less still pans over still images, but that's just something I want to note. I'm pretty sure you guys don't even give a shit, but...
I notice it, but... and part of it might be the fact that I have not really watched anime really at all for, like, maybe 3 or 4 years. So I'm looking at this film, and it's like holy shit, 1080p anime, that's awesome.
Yeah,
but I do notice the inconsistencies, but I kind of forgive them, because I look at this film and I think it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think it takes away, but I think it's definitely worth noting that, you know, this franchise like Eva, maybe it could have been treated a bit better. Like, I don't know how things were going back at Kata there. I know they had to rewrite the movie at one point. I heard that happened, so maybe that affected things a bit. So I don't know. And they definitely had a schedule. They had to get it out, whatever. Anyway.
I mean, like, you can't really expect, like, a Studio Ghibli kind of quality to, you know, these films. But, you know, it works for Eva. I mean, like, it's I mean, all it is really just high budget Eva.
I think if anything,
really all that matters.
It's in keeping with the style of the TV show, which is in some way a good thing.
I'm just happy that they're doing really well over in Japan, because I think that the I think Eva needs like this influx of new material.
Oh yes.
With ADV Films restructuring into these new companies, manga entertainment letting the movie licenses go away, the Eva manga by Viz going out of print.
It's going out of print? They're not going to publish any more of it, or what?
Well, hey, the last... we discussed this on Ava Geeks forums a little bit about, like, Volume 9 in particular was a really limited release. Like, they just didn't make very many copies of that,
enough.
Like, I saw... I want to say that somebody had a copy of it on eBay for, like, something obscene, like $250. Like, ooh, not Japanese. I'm talking like the Viz domestic English release.
Because the thing is, the Japanese one would be fucking $2. That's the thing.
I couldn't find a copy of that in stores. I had to actually ask Carl Horn to send me a copy.
Damn, because you got those connections. Well. Yeah, anyway, actually, one thing I want to note definitely about that before we move on. I lived in Japan. I lived in Japan, guys. And when you live in Japan, you can get sick to fuck of Ava. You know why? Because that shit is
everywhere.
It's fucking everywhere. Like, you get fucking sick of... I'm sorry, but you get fucking sick. Like, let me just show you guys a picture of from the end of the program booklet to give you an idea of the kind of shit you see all the time all over in Japan. All right, here
you
it is.
You don't have to send me a picture.
No, let me show you. This is from the end of the program booklet. You see shit like this as a visual aid. There's two ads on this page. The top ad is like Shinji and Misato like holding these, I guess they're like briefcases or briefcase laptops.
Man purses?
Yeah. I can't tell there. Then like Ray's shopping at a motherfucking Lawson.
There's a better one. Have you guys seen the Nerve bucket?
I have not seen the fucking is like a bath? Is it like an actual bucket or like for the bathhouse things, or is it just like a
It's a fucking bucket. Like, do you remember Mr. Bucket?
I remember Mr. Bucket.
It's like that kind of a bucket, goddammit. It's a bucket. You put shit in it. Like dirt. It's like you buy a bucket to put your Ava shit in.
Oh my god, that is a fucking...
I would need at least two.
I totally need one of these buckets now, but my life will never be complete without an Evangelion bucket.
But yeah, it is absolutely wonderful that more new Ava stuff that's like actually worth consuming is out, because there's so much fucking awful Ava shit, like Ava slot machine games, Ava Pachinko, Ava PSP games that have horrible graphics, you know, Ava manga like Angelic Days with fucking awful art, like, so definitely is, anyway.
Well, we're not done yet. I'm going to send you one more.
Okay.
This is an Evangelion humidifier.
These will all be in the show notes, my friends. Oh, let's click on this.
It's an Evangelion humidifier.
For the otaku who have a difficult time breathing in their room, is that it? I mean, I should think so.
I was on Wikipedia the other day, and like somebody quoted Matt Greenfield from Tokushikon a few years ago, where he said that Evangelion had made $2 billion, and like there was like somebody removed it, and then like there was a discussion thread on the talk page about how they didn't think that Evangelion had grossed billions of dollars, and I'm just like, are you serious? With how much shit they made?
Well, I have to confess that I do have the Evangelion drink glass, which has little pictures of Rey all over it, because I could not not own that. First thing I did when I went to Japan, I ordered that motherfucker off of Amazon.com.
Do they still make them?
I think they still make them. Actually, I have a video of me on YouTube pouring like this orange-colored juice. It's mango juice, actually, into it. Because
I could totally get for... I totally want that. Yeah. I would also want them to make... Yeah, the title's called You Cannot Advance. I would like to have seen them make an Evangelion mace. But those otaku need to protect themselves from would-be muggers. That'd be the perfect...
Oh, jeez.
Well, there was that spat of otaku mugging a couple years ago, so that's not completely out of the blue. Well, I have the fucking Evangelion bucket!
Oh, what?
The fucking Ava bucket!
That bucket is hilarious. Actually, I don't know why, but this is like the last thing I'm going to say about merchandise. I don't know why, but there in the All Goods catalog from 97 called Emono, there's one of the products that's featured is a four-port Evangelion composite AV selector with like the Nerve like text on it. I don't know why, but I really want that.
Because that's what Nerve uses when they have to make connections with, like, AV stuff. Like
I would totally use that with, like my NES and my Genesis and stuff like that.
Obviously. Anyway.
I don't know why, but I want that.
We could talk about fucking retarded Ava merchandising forever. Like, I'm pretty sure they have t-shirts that are just, like, title cards. Like, that's all the t-shirts are. They're the fucking title cards.
The kanji, just the kanji.
You know, I'd actually buy some of those for, like, my favorite episode, but, like, they sell those. I am almost 100%... I remember seeing that a couple years ago. But anyway, fuck it. Let's move on to the directing and tone of the movie. And I definitely think that one thing... There's, this movie, in some ways, the tone is definitely very different from the TV series, and this is a point of contention with some fans, which we'll talk about later. But I think at the same time, they retain a lot of Ava trademarks. Like, Ava, I think, in my mind, it was like my first real exposure to Japan through Japanese animation, because it definitely has these really Japanese cues, like, you know, the cicadas in the summer, you know. Because those cicadas are fucking loud, let me tell you. Like, the cicadas, you know, everything's written in kanji. Like, there's definitely, like, this strong sense of, to use a fancy million-dollar word, mono no aware, which is the appreciation of things. It's like this, yeah, there's definitely a lot of that going on, and a lot of the chiller scenes in Ava. Like, I definitely think that sort of really Japanese atmosphere has been retained beautifully, even more so with all that animation crap we were talking about. Like, it's definitely come to life, and, like, wonderfully in this movie, I think.
I had cicadas growing up in the woods where I live, so... Like, the cicadas is just totally normal to me until, like, people were like, what is that annoying sound? And I'm like, those are cicadas, dude. Don't you know what cicadas are? But anyway, I kind of want to, like, talk about that, like, the tone difference that you mentioned. And it's kind of like, well, not necessarily the first film, but the second film is more typical of, like, Gainax makes, like, two kinds of anime series now. There's either, like, the, like, harem, moe, cutesy, like, he is my master shit.
Are you trying to say, like, he is my master is a bad show? Because I will fight you to the
terrible,
death.
It's a terrible goddamn show.
I'm going
show.
To fight you to the death, like, Aaron.
I could say that because I watched the whole goddamn thing.
Okay, go
I'm not
ahead.
Saying, I'm not saying this out of ignorance. I watched the whole thing.
Okay, I respect then, you a bit more now. Okay,
and the second genre is like the nonsensical, like, FLCL diebuster kind of actioners.
Yeah, that's really a new Gainax in a nutshell there.
Yeah, well, so, like, those two types of shows.
Yeah.
Like, they got really good at making those two, and those are the two that the fans really, really like, that like, are really easy to, like, sell and merchandise. Mm. The second Ava film is, like, the nonsensical actioner. Like, and this won't make sense until you watch, like, the last, like, 30 minutes of the second film, where it just, like, becomes friggin' diebuster. I mean, yes. Even small details, like the wrists on the plug suits for Mari and Kaoru. Like, those are straight out of Diebuster.
Yes, yes, and I know what you're talking about. There's that same sort of design sense.
And, like, also one spoiler thing about AV Unit 2, which we'll probably talk about later, that's, like, straight up Diebuster.
I think a lot of it is Hollywood action movie Ava, as opposed to slow, contemplative Ava of the TV series. And that, like I said, has been a point of contention, but honestly, I'm fine with, you know, balls-to-the-wall Hollywood action movie Ava. I think it's great. Like, I think all those angel fights are just, you know, fucking epic. They're wonderful. I mean, they're definitely overdone, heavy-handed, and crazy, but whatever, I get into that shit, so...
Yeah, do you really want to sit through, like, a 15-minute scene of, like, Shinji in his room just listening to music? Just from, like, the ceiling?
Well, some people do, and, you know, I wouldn't mind that either. See, the thing is, I wouldn't mind. I'm fine with both. But, like, I'm definitely... This is not an unwelcome change to me.
Right, but, like, you really can't do that in a movie.
That is true. I mean, that is true. Well, like, you can probably do it in a Makoto Shinkai movie.
You probably could, but, like, you know, they gotta get... You know, they gotta keep going, moving,
yeah,
moving,
exactly.
Moving.
Brisk pace. Actually, we should talk about the pace in a bit, but...
I think it has great pacing. I just don't think it has very good structure.
Yeah, I think definitely, before we talk about structure, like, because honestly, I don't know what you're talking about, so I want you to explain yourself there, but the first movie, as I said beginning, fucking awful pacing. This movie flows like a movie. I think a lot of the characters, they have adequate time to, like, do what they need to do, you know what I mean? And, like, nothing, there's nothing that doesn't make any sense. Like, actually, the scene they added with Kaji helped, because in the original theatrical cut, like, there's no scene of Kaji establishing that he knows Shinji, so right when Kaji, so basically after he leaves America, he just appears in Japan, then after that, Shinji gets called, like, oh yeah, Kaji is inviting us to this place, and they're like, Kaji, you haven't met this motherfucker, like, what, why are you going? So, yeah, I think it's...
You probably met him in chat room.
Exactly. Inviting all his, like, young friends over to the aquarium. But,
These films really don't, like... They don't coddle you in any way. It's like, they expect you to know, like, some really basic shit when you watch them.
I don't think that's so much so with the second movie. But maybe I'm saying that as someone who knows the series. But I think you can watch the second movie and not have seen Eva ever in your life. And the story will make sense. Well, to the point that it does make sense, because crazy stuff happens at the end, but I think it won't be, like, off-putting. I definitely think it feels like I was watching something that was made to be a movie from the start.
Yeah, there's I wouldn't say you would understand it, like, if you had never seen it. It's more like they cut out a lot of the purposeful, like the teasers, you know, like the double, all, like, a lot of the double entendres are gone, a lot of the teasers are gone. It's more straightforward, so yes. There's like there's a lot less of that, you know. Oh, what are the angels?
Hence,
you know,
action and, movie Eva.
Like, and a lot of the ulterior motives and people like go, you know, snooping around and stuff. There's like a lot less of that, so there's a lot less for new people to question when they watch them.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think it's nonsensical. That's the thing. Like, I think it.
Well, when I say nonsensical, I mean like the action being like kind of over the top and crazy.
By nonsensical, I mean like things just not making sense, like plot points, like not like I think there's definitely some things that were glazed over in the first movie. Like one thing that bothers me about that first movie is how they just assume that you know that Toji found out about Shinji being a pilot. They're like, there's no scene that establishes that fact.
Exactly.
And there's not really any of that in the second movie, so that's why I think this movie is great, because like, hey, it's like they actually wrote a fucking movie this time, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's because they didn't really have to adhere so much to the television series.
Well, see, the thing is, I didn't feel they had to adhere to the television series in the first movie, so whatever.
Yeah, it's true, but like, I guess like, you know, there was a whole appeal of like, oh, we're doing Eva in high definition, and like, you know, here are all your favorite scenes. And
that's like, true. Actually, I will admit that the first scene of Eva with Satchel coming over the hill, coming from behind the hill, is definitely really beautiful, reanimated. I'll say that. I'll give that movie that.
but nothing else.
Fuck them. No. I don't really hate it too much. I just don't like it very much. I think they could have done better.
の好きな黒い靴下振り向かないでお願いだからスカート直してるのよあなたの好きなカーテンチェック